Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the G Show. I'm your host, Garrett, here. And today, I want to talk about something I saw in a Sports Illustrated magazine. It was the MLB Preview 2023. I think this was the March edition. I'm a subscriber to Sports Illustrated. I think it's great to get magazines in the mail. If you want something cheap, something to look forward to, get magazines. But anyway. So we're in the sports magazine, right? And Julio Rodriguez is on the cover, right? Young superstar, right? You know, he's got everything. 2020 last year, you know, 20 homers, 20 steals. Crazy, right? Superstar in the making. Like, this guy's going to be up for Seattle, right? So anyway, I don't know how many times I'm going to say right. So I'm reading this, and they're talking about, you know, previews, and, you know, they went into depth about each division, how they're going to do, and they talked about Julio and, you know, what he does as a, you know, in the offseason, how he warms up, and whatever. But one thing that caught my eye more than anything, right, before, you know, after all this, I read, and I said, okay, you know, it's interesting, Julio. It's really cool to see what he does. You know, he trains in, you know, Florida, in the wintertime, and he, you know, he's really, really the face of that Seattle franchise. He's really tasked with doing a lot of lifting for that team, obviously, and, you know, he impressed as a prospect. He came out of the Dominican Republic, town of just 20,000 people, and they, you know, he's just talking about his dreams, and he said he came from a little town in Dominican all the way to, you know, hitting in front of 50,000 people in Dodger Stadium, and he wants to inspire people, which I love. You know, I love somebody who's going to inspire people, motivate people, get people to be the best version of themselves, right? And be, you know, chasing dreams and whatever, right? They are becoming the best version of themselves. And that's a beautiful thing for Julio to, to push himself to, you know, show young kids, like, hey, you know, this is out there and this is what you can be. And, you know, it's just a beautiful thing. So I'm excited and happy to see a young face in baseball promoting that kind of mentality and that image and having that kind of value to society beyond baseball player. And it says March 2020, Rodriguez, in 19-9 roster invitee, walked past the spring training office of manager Scott Servais. Hey, Julio, come on in here. It was called, it was their first meeting, and he was blown away. He already had a grasp of English, his confidence. He was already, you know, obviously midway through last season, he was already one of the best players on the Mariners. And he was a rookie, you know. He's Julio. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to be the guy, and it's super exciting. But anyway, that was the cover. I only wanted to mention that because he was the cover of the magazine. They talked about Chaz Chisholm and how he's an exciting young star for, you know, the Marlins. And, you know, he has super freakish athleticism. He can steal bases, hit homers, and, you know, he's just really, again, another young, exciting player that in baseball that we're going to be looking forward to watching for a very long time. Just the speed alone and just everything in general, and just super excited to see what he can do for Miami. And they're a bad team, so they really need a guy and someone who can really lead the team and shape the culture of Miami. You know, he's very crucial part to that. And they talk about Neil Cruz. You know, the 6'7", you know, freak of nature shortstop for Pittsburgh. He could switch hit. I mean, he threw the hardest. He throws the hardest of anybody in baseball. He threw a 97.8 mile per hour missile to first base in the game. And he also has, you know, the highest exit velocity in baseball, 122.4 miles per hour. 122. Well, that's insane. Like, that's a missile. So, this guy's freakish power, freakish ability. Just want to see whether he can transfer or not into the majors and just getting his average up. But he's going to be an insane player. But anyway, so we're just talking about a few of the young guys and highlighting that, right? So, that's a very important part of the game to have guys that are going to really keep baseball alive and something, the culture and the heritage and the tradition of baseball alive. And so, it's very crucial that, you know, you have these young guys coming in that are going to help carry that along, hopefully. Sorry, guys. And then the pitch clock That's another big thing, you know. Obviously, it's like 2 weeks into baseball, right? The games are a lot faster, like two and a half hours. Love it. Went to a game, you know, yesterday. Fortunately, the Pirates lost 7-0 to the Astros. But, you know, it was fast. You know, it wasn't like a 3.5 hour game. You know, oh my God. And, you know, we were in the heat. You know, I got sunburned. You know, but at least it wasn't 3.5 hours. And, like, holy cow, this game's never ended. Like, it was quick paced. Kept it moving. And it just cut down on a lot of extra, you know, cut down a lot of what I want to say, like, you know, in between this, like, sitting around, you know, throwing to the, you know, first base, trying to pick them off. It's just a lot of that's been cut down, and that's necessary to keep the interest of the game. The young people, our generation has a very short attention span, so it's really key that, you know, baseball made this adaptation, sorry, I keep you on, and kept, you know, pushing the game forward, evolving it, and now you can see the fruits of that so far. And I like the pitch clock. There's been some, you know, frustrations for sure for people, you know, who, you know, have had pitch clock violations and, you know, not, you know, definitely have had strikeouts already because of that from batters. You've had walks from pitchers. So it's definitely going to take a while for a learning curve-wise perspective for pitchers and batters to, you know, get used to that. But I think over time, it just needs some time and some patience and just getting used to it and just getting loose. And I think after all that, after a while, it'll be settled down. And players who I think will love it. But as a fan, I absolutely love the pitch clock. Just love the speed. Just 2.5 hours is perfect. You know, that's good for an afternoon, night game, not out too late. Just catch a game, good action, way more, you know, offense. Just exactly what baseball needed, you know, at this time. And that's a real exciting thing to see. So I'm really excited and happy to see that. So yeah, very have about the pitch clock. But what I really want to talk about was robot umpires. It's because I read this, right? This article. And I go, huh. I've heard about it. I didn't know it was really a thing. They're testing the Myers, right? See if it's working, whatever. They break it down. You know, if they implemented the robot umpires. And they bring up some really interesting points that come into if they were to bring in the umpires and what would that even look like, you know, if they were to bring in umpires. Now, obviously, the robot umpires are accurate, right? You know, you throw a pitch, it's not going to miss a call. It's a robot. It's automated. That's what some people want. They get frustrated, you know, human error. And a regular umpire, they make a mistake, right, can cost them a game, whatever. And they get frustrated, right? So they think, okay, if I can get a robot umpire, not going to make the same silly mistakes. You know, they're always going to make the right call. You know, put that in perspective, and they're like, yeah, I want that for baseball because, you know, you're not going to make mistakes. In theory, it's going to be perfect, right? That's exactly what they want. For those people, there's definitely those fans who want the perfect strike zone. And the perfect calls. But the flip side of that is part of baseball is the umpire, right? And having the human, you know, air, nature, whatever you want to call into it. Like, there's definitely been games where, you know, some games have been won because of, if you want to call them bad calls, borderline calls, whatever, right? People, you know, they like to boo umpires when they think they made a bad call. But if you think about it, right, if you're standing in that person's shoes, you have to make a call within a split of a second, right? You have to see this pitch come in. And as soon as it's thrown, you got to make a call whether things right. You know, if it's a ball, if it's a strike, you know, whatever, right? And that's even if they, you know, it's wrong, the baseline, you have to decide whether it's an actual, if it's in play or not. So it's very, you know, it's a very, you know, stressful, I was going to say, very kind of first reaction, whatever kind of job. It's a very, in instinct, in my opinion, my understanding of upping base jump. For that, you know, it brings in an element, right? And also allows catchers to, what do they call that? It's a term for framing. That's right. Now, framing is a huge thing, you know. It's a huge stat, actually, these days for, catching. You know, it's where if you see a pitcher, right, if the ball's a little low, right, he can raise the glove up just a little bit to make it seem like a strike, right? And that might make the call that a strike instead of a ball, even though the ball is really down. So there's an art to framing, you know, making it look, you know, like a strike and creating your own zone, you know. And there's a beautiful art in Jose Trevino, first time All-Star for the Yankees last year, you know. They asked him, you know, straight up, like, is this, like, do you want, you know, the robot umpires, like, zoning, framing, excuse me, is that, like, a big deal, right? I mean, they asked him, you know, straight up, and, like, an example, like, it was a game last year for the Yanks, and Trevino said, you know, an example of this was in early September, the Yankees were playing the Rays in Tampa, third baseman Yanni Diaz stepped in the box against New York reliever Clay Holmes. Two outs, bottom of the ninth, a potential tying run at third, and a winning run at second. Tension of the moment stretched until the count was full. And here the 3-2 pitch, a 102-mile-per-hour sinker that sank a touch more than Holmes wanted. Diaz knew he didn't swing, but Trevino knew it too, and he received the pitch with easy confidence befitting a strike. His gratefulness made the movement hard to spot, even on replay. All the video shows is the 1 second. The pitch is coming in the next second and has secured it inside the strike zone. This was strike three. You know, and then he says, "This you put so much work in on receiving end for that one moment right there. That time and place. All of a sudden, everything just kind of so circled. The ball's down. You worked on this move for however many years, and it's strike three." You know, that's exactly what framing does, right? It fixes mistakes. But that's the human element in it. You know, I think that's what makes baseball great. It's not perfect. No, it's not a perfect game. It's humans just kind of, it's like we're playing a pickup game, right? It's just perfect. Like across sports, they're refs, you know, and they're human beings. You know, I don't want every sport to go to, robots. It's part of the game. The human error. For these catchers, it's part of their game, you know, for them to be able to frame, you know, make things look like strikes. And that's a huge deal, you know. That's a huge part of the integrity of the game and the skill level it takes to be a good catcher, like just the framing. You know, the ability to change a game potentially or change an inning, you know, it's really important. I think if we take that away, you're really almost taking the ability or need for a catcher. That's pretty much his job, is to obviously just get the pitches or make the pitches strikes, you know, or whatever, or make good calls, you know. And if you take that with the robo umps in, I'm going to take that away, because you can't, you know, you can't do that with framing. You're not going to be able to fool a robot like it sees it coming in. So I really hope that they keep with the human umpires and they don't go into robot, because I think it's going to ruin the art of framing. It's going to ruin catchers' ability to do their job. And I think it's going to really have a huge impact in the game if you take out the human umpires and put in robot umpires. And even Trevino says, it's a human element of the game. Like I said, the ball strikes from the umpire. So Trevino, you take that out and it's just like, okay, what are we really doing? Like, that's exactly the point. Like framing can equal more wins or could hurt you, right, if you're not good at it. So it's a really crucial thing and part of the game, and I really think that they should not take it out. And I think hopefully they won't. And I hope somehow, some way, the wave for the trend of robot umpires, we can eliminate that from the game if possible, and just try to keep the game the way it is, and that'd be an amazing thing. And we're 2 weeks into a brand new season. Rays are undefeated. That's crazy. The Rangers are doing well. This is exciting stuff. I just love watching baseball highlights every day and just really enjoying what I've seen so far. So, yeah, I'm really excited about what's coming. And I'm really loving the new product and just the new stuff and just really enjoying baseball. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the G Show. I'm your host, Garrett. Until next time, I'll catch you later. Peace.